book of Ephesians. And tonight, we're going to begin the fifth chapter. And we've been rejoicing in this bridal love story. And we've been rejoicing in this bridal love story over these first four chapters. And it's so proclaimed in chapter 3, verse 6, where it says that we are to be joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. There's no mystery anymore. It's evident. It's laid out. It's made known. That veil rent in twain, praise be to God, and the Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and making them ours and showing it to us. It's here and now. And as we enter into this fifth chapter, it's no longer just reading of the bridal love story. It's time to live it. It's time to enter in. It's time, brothers and sisters, to be fully purposed. That's what the word Ephesians means. It means fully purposed. And to have the fully purposed grace come out in our lives. The vision now becomes the walk or the way of life. And as it's been so clearly apparent in the scriptures that we've been reading, we must know this plan before we could ever walk in it. You have to know the plan of God, brothers and sisters. There are many that you'll hear say, well, I'm running the race. I'm going to win Christ. I'm going to be part of that bride. That's precious that there's a desire, but by the grace of God, we need to grow in the knowledge of that grace, in the knowledge of that love, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All truth, brothers and sisters, it's there for us and for us to rejoice in. And we've been thankful, and we give God all the thanks and praise that He's given gifts to the church to grow us up. Remember those wonderful gifts? The apostles and the prophets? How about the apostle Paul? I praise God for that great gift, don't you? How about Pastor Brother Hill? I praise God for that great gift. I praise God for all of that godly influence and those wonderful gifts that He's given to the church and how freely the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon us and entered into us to have a vision to be acted upon. So now here we go, and let's go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 5 together. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And let those first two words catch you. Be ye. Just be. Praise be to God. Be who you are in Christ. And He's told us who we are. We're vessels blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have it all. Now God says, just be. Just be in me. Be who you are. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what that is. Well, that's by the grace of God what this truth is. This is who we are in Christ. This is this word, and this word in believing it works effectually in us. So it says, be ye therefore. So because of the plan that we've read about, because of the provision that we know about, because of the purpose that God is giving us a panting about, and because of the power that He has given us, be ye followers of God as dear children. Dear children. Now, you have to think this is interesting, I would hope, as you look at this. Be ye followers of God as dear children. And you think that He's speaking here to fully purposed saints. Saints that He has called over and over to grow up into Him in all things. And it is just that. You know what? We're still growing. Well, at least we should be. And we better be. Let me tell you something. We wouldn't even be here if God thought we were done cooking. I was thinking maybe a Thanksgiving. But there has to be more growing to be had here, doesn't there? Praise be to God. He's faithful. He's not just leaving you here to be nothing. He's leaving you here by the grace of God to grow up into something and to grow up into Him in all things. And these fully fervent and fully purposed saints, brothers and sisters, in order to grow into their fullest potential, are encouraged to never leave the faith as a child. Listen to what it's saying here. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He's talking about the faith as a child. Be followers of God as dear children, because children just believe. And brothers and sisters, if there ever comes a time that we think that we have grown beyond faith as a child, God help you. God help you. I know dear ones that are struggling tonight because they have left faith as a child. They think they've grown so mighty, they've grown so wise, they've grown so philosophical that they can now approach God in a different, better way. Faith as a child. You want to be a follower of God? You're going to follow Him as a dear child. Praise be to God. This is the attitude of a heart, brothers and sisters, that says God has said it and it's so. This is the attitude of heart that says God has spoken it and that's it. There's no more reasoning. There's no more speculating. There is no more time to waste. Believe. And believe it all. Don't just take out bits and pieces of this. God wants you to believe it all. To be filled with all the fullness of God. And you know who all the fullness of God is. That's Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? The Word. It's right here, brothers and sisters. Be filled with all the fullness of the Word of God. This is what He wants. This is His desire. This is what makes Him pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this verse, brothers and sisters, can be even more accurately translated. It says, "Be ye imitators of me as beloved sons." Isn't that wonderful? Imitators. Well, I have to just jump along in Scripture and think, well, brother and sisters, this has to be the call from glory to glory, even to the very image of Him. The cry to be like Him. The cry that Christ in me is the hope of glory. The cry to be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't it wonderful how many different ways He says, "I love you. I love you. Oh, do I love you. And wake up to my love." And then in verse 2, here's how exciting it gets. This is the result of believing, the result of faith like a child. See, there's benefits to this, brothers and sisters, great benefits. And here it is. And walk in love. Oh my, that's a walk. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. See, this isn't just walk in some love that you think is love or some frilly love that the world has that they call love. Oh, no. This is a specific love. As a matter of fact, this is the only love there is. It is walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And here's how He loved us. And hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Well, I'm thankful to God that Christ's life in me is a sweet fragrance to God. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. There's some putrid things to God, isn't there? Number one thing I think of is self-righteousness. But the righteousness, the only righteousness there is in and of His Son is the righteousness, praise God, that He has made me. Isn't that wonderful? He has put that righteousness in me, and it is sweet smelling to God. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful, brothers and sisters. But to walk in love is what this call is. And to walk in love is God's perfect will. It is God's perfect will. It's the absolute epitome of it all to us, brothers and sisters. This is the perfected walk of love. The walk of the full overcomer in Christ. The life that knows and lives and breathes all things work together for good to them that love God. That walk in that love with Him. That rejoice in that love with Him. That walk as dear children. I love that, just to follow Him, brothers and sisters. I don't have to show myself mighty because I'm not. I don't have to show myself able because there's no way I could be. I follow Him because He's my Father. I follow Him because I love Him. Because He first loved me. And that's the walk of love that we have. And it is so sweet. And I'm so thankful that, Lord, You have made it that easy. I was thinking when my little ones were obviously little, it was easier in a way to deal with them. They didn't have all this great mind to think about how they were smarter than Dad. They knew more than I. Don't you know that? Isn't it amazing how, again, they say how smart your parents become as you grow up in years? Oh, my goodness. But I'm going to tell you something. This is what it is. You just follow him as a dear child. Now, many will ask, they'll say, well, how do I walk in this love? How do I walk in this love? And it's precious because, you know, the Word of God never leaves you hanging. Matter of fact, the Word of God holds you. And the answer to this lies in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. And let's turn over there. That's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. And it says there, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Did you hear that? But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Keepeth the word. That means guards it, takes heed, cherishes, applies, lives, rejoices. These are the ones that the love of God is perfected, completed, matured, finished, brothers and sisters, accomplished, and they walk in love as Christ Jesus has loved us. Now that's mighty. This is a love walk. See, he has been asking, believe it or not, for our hand in marriage for an awful long time. This is the vessel that finally realizes, well, you know what? I'm going to ask for yours too. When you walk in love with him, I always think about how precious this aisle is. And I'm talking about this aisle when people walk down to get married. This is the aisle walk. It's the aisle walk to walk down to the altar to marry Jesus Christ. And praise be to God, he met me way up there as we're walking down here together. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful to God how he gives us a vision of what he wants. He wants to marry us, brothers and sisters. Jesus, as he loved the church and gave himself for it. And this is she that responds to that love. And this is the sweet smelling sacrifice to God. That speaks there of the burnt offering, Christ's offering of himself up to God. And it literally ascends up to the nose of God, and he loves it. And this is who God is searching for. This is the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth, brothers and sisters. Worshiping in love and in love, if you really think about that, because that's what spirit and truth is. It's love and love, and it's more love. And by God's grace, he pours out this love, being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith through Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. And she exudes the life of his son, and that's why God is so pleased. And it's his son, and only his son, that is satisfying to God. Know it. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing that we could do. Not all the hard work. Not all of our toil. Shoot, we learned that with Cain at the very beginning, didn't we? Now man would want to feel sorry for that brother and say, oh my goodness, you did this, and I don't mean to call him that brother, but that man, I should say. You'd say, well my goodness, you did all that toiling and you worked so hard and you did. That's, let me tell you something, that's refuge to God. That's putrid to him. Understand, when you come to him with the life of his son or you don't come to him. You come to him with the righteousness of his son or you don't come to him. You come to him by the grace of God, his son, his love, the blood of the Lamb of God. And hallelujah, we are fully accepted, invited, and praise be to God, as he's put upon my heart, we're expected. We're expected. Get in there. Come boldly to me. God is crying out to us right now to come boldly. And we live in a time where, let me tell you something, we need to be in there 24/7 and every second of the hour. Praise be to God. But the Father rests in that his son's wife, the readied wife, she loves him, doesn't she? Praise be to God. And she walks only in his love. She lives the life as that of the son. She totally relies on the will of the Father. That is a big statement, isn't it? But you know what? He causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know what He does? He brings us into situations and circumstance that's so far beyond yourself that you can't do it. And you have to rely upon the will of the Father. That's so wonderful. That's how loving He is. He'll put you in that place that you do have to cry out to God and say, Lord, this is yours. And it becomes a sweet place, doesn't it, as we trust Him? It becomes a precious place. It becomes a very solemn and a sacred place where we're not thrashing around anymore. This is serious because I can't do this anymore, God. And I'm trusting it was Your love and Your love alone that put me in this place to cry out to You, to say, oh God, hallelujah, You're loving on me and I'm beginning to really love You. And I'll tell you, a true love for all the saints comes out of this as well too. Brother Copley, he notes in this, and I was so thankful. See, this love walk, it loves the Lord. And when you love the Lord, as Brother Hill used to tell us, you can't help but love everybody. You do. You just love souls. You see, you don't see the people anymore. You really don't. You see that Jesus Christ died for him and her and her and everybody. And He died for the sin of this world, all the sins of this world. And God wants man to come to that. That's the very will of God, that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge, that full, complete, intimate, exact knowledge of the truth. This is our faithful Father. And He's faithful to all mankind if they will just look to the Lamb of God. How wonderful. Praise be to God. It's there for all. But Brother Copley notes, and he says that Moses, his love for the saints, there in Exodus 32:32, he was willing to have his name blotted out for all of Israel's transgressions. And then Brother Paul in Romans 9:3, he was willing to be accursed for the salvation of Israel. Great love of the saints is the evidence, brothers and sisters, of a vessel that walks in love. It is what it is. She can't help but want to fellowship. She wants to come to church. She wants to come to study. She's there to look upon the need, to be called out, if God would choose so, of that brother and sister to bring that cold cup of water. Philadelphia is just what it is. And this is conviction time. I love it, brothers and sisters. He's confirming this. He's bringing it back into our remembrance. He's bringing it back for us to edify one another. And that's why I love to come to Bible study. Because He lays it out for us. And He does. And we need to be reminded again and again and again. Praise the Lord. So now that we have the walk, the love walk, and we know that this love walk is gratifying to God, He says, okay, now I'm going to show you the opposite. And that's exactly what we're going to get here, verses 3-5. The one is gratifying to God, and the other is gratifying to self. And this is the difference here. So let's go ahead and read verses 3-5. That it may be well with, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, this last part is truly the concern of these three verses. It's inheritance. Inheritance, brothers and sisters. God is judging us right now for what? Reward. Amen? Amen. Now, eternal life is not inherited. Praise be to God. We are born into it. It's given. Praise the Lord. But inheritance is a different thing. And I'd like you to read with me in 1 Corinthians. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin reading from the 11th verse. And it says here, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, we have this foundation. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Now, and there we go. What is that foundation? That's Jesus Christ, to him crucified, salvation. Hallelujah. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And this is speaking of every man's work that was built upon the foundation. So we're talking of brothers and sisters here. We're talking of people that are saved, people that know Jesus Christ as Savior. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward or an inheritance. Know ye not? And it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So see, if that brother's work is burned and suffers loss, that inheritance, there isn't any. But isn't this wonderful? But he himself shall be saved. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Let me tell you something. He shall suffer the loss of an inheritance, but he shall be saved because of the foundation, because of the gift of God, Jesus Christ, eternal life. And know the difference for yourselves. I know that's there. But here's what it's saying to us, brothers and sisters. This fornication, this uncleanness, this covetousness. Galatians 5:19 through 21, it talks about them as works of the flesh. In Colossians 3:5, it says that it's in our members. But you know what? We read chapter 4 last week, and we read that we have put that off. We have put on the new man. That's who we are, and God wants us to be absolutely assured of this. But we need to treat these things, these fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, we need to treat them as what they are. They're dead. They're dead. Praise be to God. They're dead, and have no stench of them in our walk. The bride loves his righteousness and true holiness, and by the grace of God displays it. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't his love cause you to will and to do of his good pleasure? Doesn't it? You just love him. And you fall in love with the Lord. And you say, Lord, perform that good work in me. And he will, brothers and sisters. He really will. I was praying today. I was having a hard time. There was such a peace that was going on about a situation, believing the Lord. But then that moment would come back in. And that moment would come back in every once in a while. And it just stopped. He put me on my knees. And I said, Lord, let me apprehend more of the grace of God. I need more of your grace to believe you through this. And bam, it just changed. And he turned the battle. And it's so wonderful how he does that. And he's teaching us that all the time. Apprehend the grace of God to believe him, to increase my faith. That's the love that's there to absolutely have me take hold of that lover of my soul. And then, brothers and sisters here, take note of verse 4. I want to just go back and touch upon this quickly. It means ludicrous remarks and actions. And I encourage us, stay away from evil communication. Stay away from that. God help us. We don't want to go that way. This tongue is full of poison. God, just as I was speaking to a sister earlier today, be slow to speak. Ask the Lord to really, if there's anything I encourage you, in some respects, don't need to be heard. Just be still. Let God take care of it. Really, let God take care of it. This goes on to mocking of the truth, or mocking even those that love the truth. See, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And I understand the spirit is very willing, but this flesh is weak. God's given us great instruction, brothers and sisters, in be still and know that I am God is one of the greatest encouragements you could ever have. Be still. Be still. Now, I hope we see as well, too, this is way beyond just these members. Who he's speaking to here is the chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. He's calling her to put away the idolatry. The whoring he's talking about here is not to go whoring around when it comes to the truth. I appreciated my mom when she counseled me from time to time. She didn't just, you know, sit down and give me the big speech. But I appreciated how mom did it. It was here a little and there a little. I believe by the hand of God, and she's not someone to give you a lot of words, but she'd be led to give wisdom out. But one of the things that she said to me that stuck with me is she would tell me of times when she was young in her marriage. And when she was young in her marriage, maybe she would go out to the store or she would be somewhere, and another man might pay her attention, maybe think she was attractive, maybe even make an advance, knowing that she was married. And she said, by the grace of God, instead of feeling good about that, instead of feeling good that somebody noticed me, she said, it was an insult to me, son, because I'm a married woman. Now, that's not to magnify my mother. I hope you know that. But this is to stress a point. God help us to not be flattered by the devil's advances. And I mean that, brothers and sisters. He's cunning. We cannot combat that enemy in ourselves. But in Christ, it's the same old stinking bag of tricks. And it is. There's nothing new there. God knows it all. And we are not ignorant of those devices. And instead of being flattered by the grace of God, let's be insulted. Let's be disgusted with his advances to flee the very appearance of evil. And I believe that God wants that, and I believe that he is fully able to perform that good work in us as well too. Amen. But I want to emphasize here that it is pertaining to the truth. As the Word of God tells us, to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Did you hear that? To give the more earnest heed, exceeding abundant earnest heed, to the things that we have heard. And why? Because lest at any time we should let them slip. It goes on to say, to not neglect so great salvation. God help us to wake up. People are talking more and more. And I'm talking about Christians. I'm so tired, brother. I'm weary. And the Lord struck my heart. God help us. Because that's the body that slumbers. Quicken me, Lord. I don't want to grow weary in well-doing, do you? And you know what well-doing is? Laying hold, pressing for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love to see him smile. How about you? I don't want him just taking pity on me. I want him rejoicing with me, saying, honey, thank you for running. Praise be to God. And as I said on Sunday, all I could look at him and I say, oh, well, thank you for loving me. And it is that way. And praise God, it's just thanks and glory and praise and honor and love. And it's back and forth. It really is. She loves him. And praise be to God, let me tell you something. He's lights out about her. And he lets you know it if you just let him speak to you. And how he delights in you, brothers and sisters. And how the Father delights in that godly, readied wife. He's thrilled. He's thrilled for us to come together tonight to speak and to preach and to receive and take heed to these things. There's nothing that could even compare to the value of what we're entering in tonight as a body, as us in Christ, as we began in this Ephesians. That God is drawing us in, and God is drawing us in, and he continues to draw us in. And you know what? It gets sweeter. It gets closer, it gets more glorious, it gets brighter. It gets you excited. It really does. But how much more does it excite him? You ever think of that? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful when I look in the eyes of my natural love here, my wife, and she's pleased and she's excited, and I can see the love in her. And that's nothing to be compared with our bridegroom. You have something to be happy about. You really do. Oh, my goodness. All right. See, we pray. And let me tell you something. God provides. David had some great failures in the flesh, brothers and sisters. We read this, didn't he? Yeah, he sure did. And even up until the end of his life, it wasn't. You know, a lot of people say, oh, see, he failed. No, he didn't. He kept it going. He was weak in that flesh, wasn't he? Praise God. And I'm so thankful that this brother lived a life of trusting in God. But as to the statutes, the Word of God, the love of the Word of God said he was perfect with God in his heart. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I'm thankful for that. It's not that I just use that as a crutch and say, oh, okay, well, I failed, but God, I'm perfect. No. It's I know what He keeps. I know what He's doing. I know that as we've been rejoicing, and He's really given me a vision for that. He saw us at the well. He called us to the well. He sent the Holy Spirit there. He knew we would be there. He knew we would receive this. I've got two boys back there. And I believe by the grace of God, He divinely gave me those sons to hear this message. Because by grace and grace alone, He is able to grow them up into all things in it. And I can say that for you. I can say that for your children. There's no accidents here. There's no coincidences. That's not what this is about. This is about God's perfect will. His perfect will. His perfect timing. His perfect place. His perfect creation. His perfect vessels. Stumbling through, feeling awfully imperfect. Huh? Come on. I understand. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He said the treasure was in the earthen vessel. Isn't that wonderful? And it doth not appear what we shall be. Huh? But we know that when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. What it's going to be. And I believe it is going to be soon, brothers and sisters. We have something to be, something to be so thankful for. Praise the Lord. But see, Brother Solomon, his son, he fell so short of this perfect with God in his heart because his heart was taken away. And I pray that we see that this is a love match, and it's a love match with the Word and for the Word of God. We love the Word of God. We love Jesus. That's what He's put in here. And He brings that out. It's His grace that manifests that in our life, brothers and sisters. In sinless perfection, it's been taken care of. Sure, I want to have a testimony. But you know what? I leave that up to God. Amen. I do leave that up to God. And you know what? As His love is magnified in me, it'll take mighty fine care of it. It'll come out. It will come out. Praise be to God. It'll flow forth. All right, let's go ahead and move through 6 through 8. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's all man has to offer anyways, isn't it? They're empty, lies, nothing. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. All from vain words. Isn't that amazing? God help us to not be deceived by them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Okay? Very clear. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk. Walk as children of light. Romans 16:18 tells us, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Did you hear that? That's who these deceivers are, these vain word ones are. They're living to their own bellies, their own wants. And by good words and fair speeches. And man, have I heard a lot of good words and fair speeches. I can't help but turn the TV on. Now, I could understand it coming from our government, but the thing that really hurts my heart, is it coming from pulpits? And that's where it's at, brothers and sisters. And this is where it's going from. That's why I say, don't try to turn this into some political event. This is about God's Word. This is about the seven churches and the state of each one of those churches, brothers and sisters. And by the grace of God, where do we find ourselves in this time? Amen. These are the mature sons of disobedience. We've read about that. And we know we're not ignorant of this. Just as there's mature sons that are running for God's best, they're mature sons of disobedience. And they're sly and they're sneaky and they're enabled from an enemy that is very, very powerful. But remember, any power had to still be given of God. All right? So don't ever think it's out of control. It's completely under control. But these mature sons of disobedience, they lay in wait to deceive. But we are not carried about with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because it's truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, brothers and sisters, that is what grounds us. It's not because we come to church for so long. It's not because we all get together four times a week. It's not because I have a cross that I put upon my neck with a chain or all of the different verses upon my house. Wonderful, fine. All right? But what keeps us is truth in love. That's it. And that's all it's ever going to be. It's the truth in love. That's why man's thoughts and perceptions have no place in God's pulpit. For they are foolishness to God. I was expressing that to my son today. I said, there's a desire for good education and things of that nature, and I appreciate aspirations in any of our young people, in even middle age or whatever it is, in growing up in that. But understand this, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Period. Period. And as I pointed right back to him, be therefore followers of God as dear children. God help you. God help us. The day that we would think that we outgrew faith as a child. You know? Don't. Just don't. Believe Him. Believe Him. This is the truth. This is the truth. So brothers and sisters, we are espoused to one husband. 2 Corinthians 11:2. So I can say by the grace of God, no one's going to have headship over us but Jesus Christ. We're just not going to go that way. By God's grace. Not by my power or my might. I don't even have any anyways. But it's by His Spirit. The spotless church by grace will not commit adultery with religious fornicators. They're not going to do that. They're not going to entertain that. She's not going to sit there and say, well, let's have a multi-faith something. Let's all get in here and pray together, and you pray to your God, and I'll pray to mine. There is one faith. That's it. And it's not that I'm trying to jam home a point. It's that's who my lover is. I'm espoused to one. That's it. I don't need to be rude about it, but I'll tell you what. Don't try to interfere with it. Then you will hear about it. But brothers and sisters, it is but one, the spotless church. She loves Him. They're subtle. We understand that. They'll tell us in a lot of ways, oh, you need to grow. I remember when the Lord called me into the ministry early in. I was thinking back. I praise the Lord how simple. I believe I still am. I hope I am. Because there's simplicity in the gospel. And I want to stay simple that way. But I'm very naive to things about the ministry in a sense of, I guess how churches run and all that. I just believe God runs the church, doesn't He? Amen. Doesn't He take care of you?
That's right.
Amen. Does He take care of this church? He does. All right. Now He appoints and He encourages and leads, but He still does it. It's not like, well, we arrive and we understand how to do this. And, you know, I've got umpteen years and this is how we do it. By the grace of God, it hasn't changed from the day that He's called me into the ministry. Lord, I just trust You. You do it.
That's right.
And you know what? He does it. Praise the Lord. And He does. And He is the God of increase. And know it. And we just look to Him. But early on, I remember these different ones. And they meant good. Oh, my goodness. Why don't you grow the numbers in that place? Well, you got to build a legacy, man. I'm not kidding you. Oh, it's time to write a book. Huh? I just thought, oh my goodness. And then I look at some of them and it's like, well, get the people feeling guilty and get their money. God help us. It's the mark for the prize. And brothers and sisters, that is the walk in love. So he tells us very clearly here, there is no fellowship there. Get away from it. Get away from it. I want to show myself friendly by the grace of God. He wants to. And I want to fellowship in Him. In Him. If we're going to fellowship in Him, by the grace of God, I want to be willing to do that. I want to be open. This church, you know, by the grace of God, is open to all. We don't do a checklist of, well, how do you live this way and how do you live that way and have you denounced this and have you denounced... No. Come with us and we'll do you good. Amen. Amen. We don't do a dress code check. We don't do those types of things. I believe as the Lord gets you in here, you'll want to honor Him. But you know what? Let the Lord do that for people. Encourage. Love. You know, there was a lot of wonderful lessons that Jesus taught us, didn't He? About those people that didn't want to have to do with them, did they? Oh, they're sick, or oh, she don't have no money, or he looks funny, he can't walk, let's throw them over there, they're going to slow us down. But those are the ones that God had His Son stop. He stopped and He went over to them and He said, I am. I'm thankful He did that for me. I'm thankful He did that for me. But this meaning of no fellowship means to leave it. It means to abstain or avoid foolish questions. Get away from arguing and strife. See, the wife doesn't have any time to waste. She knows she needs to be ready. He's coming. Occupy. That doesn't mean get lost in the things of this world, brothers and sisters. This means occupy your heart with me. Think of me. We're going to have a day. It's about ready to happen. I want you thinking of me because you know what, honey? I'm thinking about you. I got you on my mind. I got you on my heart. I see things take our thoughts away so quickly, brothers and sisters. In my own life, in my own home. Things that are very good. But that's not God's best. We need to tend to the things of the Lord without distraction. You are not too busy. You are not called to a position so high or so needy that you're excluded from this. There's nothing greater than being prepared and ready to marry the Lamb of God. It's so real. We were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But we are light. Because God's made us that. Isn't that wonderful? We're born of God. We've heard many times He's given us His DNA. The seed is there and that's who we are. And He's called us to be. And we have an inheritance if we'll just awaken to it. Among them that are sanctified. Them that are set apart to God. You think about them sometimes. Paul. Timothy. Priscilla. Aquila. Those ones that freely, freely gave. Gave it all and knew that. Oh no. All things are lost but the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's only going to be through and by the word of His grace, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? The simplicity that's in the gospel. I recently was exposed to a great religion. a great organization. And the man kept saying, our tradition, our tradition, our tradition. And there was something about our tradition that was consistent every single time. When he said our tradition, everything that followed had nothing to do with the Word of God. I was thankful for that. Because there would be scripture read, and then there was a break of our tradition. At least God showed the separation. God showed the difference. You will never find our tradition in here. This is God's tradition. As that dear brother said to me not too long ago, well, brother, this is how we do it. And a chill went through my spine at that time, and even into my heart. And I said, oh no, it's how God does it. How we do it's not going to be done here. By the grace of God, it's going to be how God does it. But living in darkness, brothers and sisters, the glorious light, the glorious abundant life will pass us by. Christians abiding in darkness will not inherit with the worthies of faith. The Bible tells us clearly, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, it's life everlasting. Now Satan himself and his ministers have been transformed from time to time into an angel of light. Do you know that? It can appear so good. It can appear so right. If you go by feeling. It's the truth. We've seen it happen time and time again. But we are not ignorant of his devices. And try them, brothers and sisters. You try them by my Spirit. The test is, does it match up with the Word of God? It's very simple, isn't it? Does it add up or does it not? There is a mark, and it is always the same. It's true and just. Sometimes you'll hear, well, it's our tradition. Sometimes you'll hear, well, it's my perception. Sometimes you'll hear, well, my church says. And I don't mean to be tongue-in-cheek, and I don't care if your mama says. And that's the truth. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You and we just praise You for Your goodness. We're grateful to God, our Father, for the patience that You have with us, Lord. But most importantly, we're just so thankful for the great love You have toward us. Help us to realize the great love wherewith we are loved. It changes everything. It breaks through everything. God, it is our everything. Thank You for giving Your truth and love to us. Thank You for Your faithfulness. God, as we travel home tonight, we know that You're with us. We ask that You just continue to encourage us, open our hearts, come into our homes. If You give us tomorrow, give each and every one here a sweet thanksgiving. Let us know that all thankfulness is from one place, and that's the finished work of the cross. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.